And we are live on BBS Radio, and it's time for the podcast that addresses issues for people 50 and older. It's time for I'm Just Saying 50 with Juanita. Juanita brings a new spin to the statement, I'm older and I'm fabulous. So get ready for some fun, information, and a complete interaction with guests and listeners. Get ready, for I'm Just Saying 50. And now, here's Juanita.
Welcome to podcast number 106. I'm Just Saying 50 with Juanita. I am so glad you could join us today. Okay, so first off the bat, I got to throw this out here. You know, live, anything live, like TV, like radio, like anything, always has a hang up and hook up. So my internet is bootleg today, so I can't do Facebook Live. And I got all made up and everything for my Facebook Live people and my Instagram Live, and I can't do any of that because I don't have any internet service because something's going on in this area where everything is down. I am really surprised that I have you. I'm actually on my cell phone today. I couldn't use my landline, so I apologize in advance. I couldn't do my Facebook Live stuff. But this is such a wonderful show. And before I get started, let me let my audience know, you can find us on bbsradio.com. Just log on, check us out, bbsradio.com. When you log in, you will see my face come up, and then you basically can listen to the show live. If you want to just listen to the show live, or you just want to be a listener and you don't want to participate, you can call 605-475-1600. Now, if you want to interact with me, the host, and the guest, and share your stories, because I'm sure and I'm hoping that we have some people that want to tell us about your story. I love hearing great stories about breast cancer survivors or any type of survivor stories. You can call 888-627-6008. And I'm going to keep repeating that number because on Facebook Live, I usually have a sign up and I'll say, and I'll have people chiming in. So it's kind of a bummer that I don't have it today. So welcome all my guests. So we have a lot of guests here, and I am so excited to even talk about Runway Forks here in D.C. Now, this is an event that's happening July 29th. It's, as Ray Mia puts it, an evening of couture, which anything couture, fashion, getting together with good people, having good fun, telling great stories, I am all for it. So give you a brief background of the event. And I'm reading from an email. Runway for Mature D.C.'s mission is to celebrate the lives of breast cancer survivors, and we encourage friends, family, and those affected by breast cancer to give back to individuals or organizations who support breast cancer research. And Rainia Henderson, a Blue Knight alumni, what? Are you serious? Rainia. She's a Balloon Knight. We both went to Balloon High School, and I am so happy to know that I got someone that went to the same high school. She is putting all this together. She's got some people with her. She's got Reggie Butler. Reggie Butler is the owner of Envision Realty, and he is one of the sponsors of the Runway for the Cure. And also, we have Rashonda Jenkins. She is a breast cancer survivor, and she is the owner of, and I'm going to let you pronounce it, Romigen.
It's Romigen Wellness and Beautiful Becoming.
Okay, and Miss International Mid-Atlantic and patient, breast cancer survivor. She's got some good things she's going to talk to us about. And then lastly, we have a wonderful person that I just met, and I had such a wonderful time talking with her, sharing stories. She is such an inspiration, and she is so, she just gives me goosebumps whenever I talk to her. Jacqueline Beal. She is also a a breast cancer survivor, and she is an outreach coordinator for Hope Communications for breast or for cancer support. And, you know, we have a lot of people out there now that are dealing with some type of breast of some type of cancer, whether it's breast cancer, bone cancer. I have someone very close to me in my family who is dealing with cancer as well. So, you know, my heart just pounds whenever I want, whenever I have a chance to do shows like this. Last month we did a show on prostate cancer. So without further ado, we're going to get with Rainia. I want her to talk to you and talk to us about Runway for a Cure, the actual event that's happened in July. Rainia, thank you so much for being a part of this podcast.
Thank you for having us. So, the Runway for a Cure, like you said, it's taking place Saturday, July 29th, 5 to 7 p.m. at the Renaissance Hotel, downtown D.C. at 999 9th Street Northwest. Just a little bit about the show. We have 7 emerging designers and boutiques from around the D.C. area participating. They are basically taking things from inception all the way through their ideas and actually creation and creating a full collection for this show for our models. Our models consist of everyday women. They consist of breast cancer survivors, and they also consist of models. So I didn't want to have just a normal fashion show, if you will, with, you know, model-esque people. I wanted, like, the everyday woman to participate in this show because the event itself and the cause behind it affects everyone. So that was my goal of this show, is to bring something a little different to incorporate our breast cancer survivors, bring awareness to those either affected or not affected by breast cancer.
So now I'm going to play, something that I hear all the time. For my cousin's a breast cancer survivor. I had, like I said, a lot of friends and family members. How hard is it to find someone who wants to share not just their story about surviving breast cancer, but get to a point where they want to talk about it so in depth that it will help the next person? Because some people are still shy about sharing the full story, the mastectomy, you know, the reconstruction part of it, which I think is very helpful to hear, especially for those people who may be facing that. And that can go for anyone in the audience right now.
I'll probably go first, and then maybe Rashonda may have, definitely has another perspective. But when I first put the call out for the fashion show, I actually started with, you know, not actually asking breast cancer survivors to be a part of the show. And then I thought about an experience that I had last year where a friend of the family actually introduced me to a woman who had had a double mastectomy, and she didn't have insurance. She was making some appearances in D.C. on Capitol Hill. And she wanted to reach out to get like something to wear for her events and her meetings while she was in D.C. And so they reached out to me to see if I had anything actually in my line or in my collection to provide to her, and I didn't. But before she left, I actually got some things together. I actually made her something before she went back to Louisiana, and that thing just really, made an impression on me that, you know, many women go out here and they go to the mall, they go to wherever, and they, you know, they're looking for the right fit, they're looking for the right thing, and just this interaction with this person that I didn't know, like, it just put something on my heart to, like, you know, give back to a cause like this for breast cancer. And
well, now you, you say designers are going to be, are you saying that you're going to have, there is a fashion show, are you the sole designer, or you have many designers that are going to be participating in this as well?
I have many, not many, but I have six other designers and myself who will be creating garments for breast cancer survivors walking in the show, as well as other models.
That was going to be my next question. Are they designing clothes for people who have survived breast cancer, or that would be able to benefit from the design?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's fantastic. That is fantastic. And that is hard. That would be a hard thing to do to Rashonda, coming into a store and or going someplace, and you've just, you know, went through this traumatic experience. You've lived through it. You're celebrating. You're happy. You know, I'm born again, and then only to find that you can't find anything that would complement your body.
Yeah, absolutely. And my journey has been such a blessing, but it's been an eye-opener, because, you know, until you actually go through something, you really don't understand all the dynamics. So for me personally, when it comes down to garments, I had a double mastectomy with immediate reconstruction, and the hardest part for me is finding bras that don't cut off my lymphatic system, because they took away so many lymph nodes when I had surgery. I have swelling that occurs underneath my armpit sometimes, and it can be very painful. So trying to find the perfect fit for bras, and even sometimes the cut of shirts and dresses, you know, sometimes can be really difficult. So
it's okay. We can all interact. I don't really care. Really, really important. And you said you had instant reconstruction. What about those women who don't have that?
Right. And sometimes they're not candidates for that. Like when I was getting ready to have my mastectomy, the doctor did tell me that there is a possibility if they go in and they can't do it, that there's a possibility that I wouldn't be a candidate for it. And, you know, as women, like, our breasts are things that we feel like help to define who we are. And so those type of things are taken away and we don't have them, it really can affect you, like, mentally on a great scale. So my hat goes off to women, because when I first started going through it and I started doing my research and looking at pictures and just seeing the scars that some of them have to work, they have a constant reminder of what they've been through, you know, and you really have to be in a strong mental state in order to, like, keep going. Like, it's our battle wound, you know? So, definitely.
And, and you said that is, you know, and, you know, yesterday I was out someplace and, you know, I had on a dress and, you know, of course the girls were just sticking up. And I was just like, but you're right. That is something that we cherish. That is something that we embrace. That's a part of us. I mean, I don't know for everybody, but for me, it makes me feminine. It makes me feel feminine. And, you know, I get daily breast checks. I actually had a breast cancer scare where I had a lymph node remove it. It wasn't cancerous, but yeah, I definitely understand what you're talking about. And I guess that could be the same thing for a man. If a man loses his penis, that's like, you know, that's like, you know, a man's, you know, to the point, there's guns. I mean, that's what makes him a man. And if he loses that, just like when we lose our breasts, that can be devastating.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I wanted to ask you, Rashonda, you know, you talked about being a survivor, and, you know, I'm so happy to hear that. But when you first found out that this hit you, what happened? What did you think? First thing you thought about when they told you, you have cancer, you're going to have to lose your breast? What was the first thing that you thought? The very first thing.
Actually, and this is going to sound so weird to so many people, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but I actually saw, like, this whole thing as a blessing for me. And let me explain. Before I found out that I had it, which was 3 days before I saw my lump, I had been doing work in the community, and I felt stagnant. I wanted God to increase my platform and have something happen that people can connect with me better. And so I had sat on the couch, and I said a prayer. I said, God, I don't know what you intend for my life, what I'm supposed to do. I said, I know I'm supposed to do something great. And I said, whatever it is, Lord, use me. And literally 3 days later, that's when I found it. And so ever since then, instead of looking at it as a lemon that is sour and just undesirable, I've actually changed my mindset and used that to be my catalyst so I can, you know, speak to so many people and be an inspiration. This is not the end. This is actually my beginning. So that's how I felt.
And Reggie Butler is the owner of Envision Realty. Before I get to you, Reggie, let me give that number again. I did get a couple of messages, so I'll ask you guys because for some reason people don't want to be on the air. The number to listen in only is 605-475-1600, or if you want to interact with me and the guest, you can call 888-627-6008. You are listening to I'm Just Saying 50. With Juanita. Reggie Butler is the owner of Envision Realty, and he is one of the sponsors of the Runway for the Cure and a community service group for Calgary Women's Shelter in Washington, D.C. Tell us what that is, Reggie. What does that mean to us women?
Well, the thing is, first of all, I want to thank you for having this platform. And
my pleasure. My pleasure.
It has been, I'm just sitting back just soaking everything in because it has affected so many women in my family, and I currently have at least three aunts who are cancer survivors now. So that's why it was so important not to just support the community, but also to support Renia and her ventures also.
Right.
So we do, not only are a real estate company, but, you know, we want to make a difference in the community. And with that being said, we focus in on different avenues and different projects to try to make a difference in the community. And one of the things we do is with Calgary Women's Shelter, we've done things such as definitely feed them, but we don't just go out and buy food. I actually cook the food myself 80%
of the time. Oh, how you doing, Reggie?
I actually cook the food myself. But also we've given classes to women down at the Calgary Center on how to put makeup on. What to do for your first interview, and try to help them out in any way that you can, especially during the holiday season, because that's when it's tough, you know, especially when you have an illness and stuff, which is tough all around, if you, you know, going through different losses and family members and stuff like that. So we just want to try to do the little things to try to, you know, help people out, because we know that God is good and that He will bless us at the same time.
So I'm gonna ask you this, Reggie. So you being a guy on the show, and you're surrounded with all these beautiful women, how can a guy help a woman who's going through this? What can he do to help a woman? Because a lot of guys would just, you know, probably freeze and just don't know what to do. So what would you suggest if you, you know, your partner, your wife, your daughter, or whomever developed breast cancer, or a guy, because guys can get breast cancer too. What can a man do?
Well, the thing is the most important thing is the self-confidence and self-esteem and everything. You need to just be there for them because they're going through some things that are just tough, and you can't even imagine some of the thoughts that's going through their mind. And the first thing you can do is just listen. Listen and be there. Those are the two main things that you can do. And, you know, I know for me, I'm married. I have three kids. And say, for example, my wife, she had a problem with her eye. And her eye got very swollen. But what I did was that weekend, I took her out. I took her to dinner. I kept complimenting her and everything. And she wrote me an email saying, thank you for being there for me and complimenting me because I didn't feel like myself. And it's not to that degree, but at the same time, as men, we need to be there. And sometimes, some days it'll just be listening. Some days it'll be just, you know, being there for them. And then other days it's just doing things with them. So I think it's important for the man to build their woman's confidence up and to reassure her, hey, you're still beautiful. And that means a lot.
Rania, you know, you are doing something spectacular with the whole Runway for a Cure DC, and I know you said that a lot of the proceeds will go to support cancer, breast cancer programs. Which programs, if I can ask, do you find that need the proceeds more? I mean, not just from your event, but from all over. Because there's so much.
So there are a lot of events. When you look at Eventbrite and you go searching for like cancer related or donation types of charity events, there are a lot out there. And what was important to me when I selected the beneficiary for this event was I wanted an organization that actually reached out and touched the community in which I live or have lived, the women, you know, aunts, uncles, neighbors, whatever that I see every day. And I landed through just searching with Breast Care for Washington, D.C., Southwest. So I reached out to one of the representatives there, Liz Davey, and she actually, blessed my show with Rashonda. And so, you know, I reached out to her. She immediately got back to me. I started, you know, researching more and more about their organization and what they do. And I found that they actually have a fund for uninsured women who need mammogram screening, wellness support, referrals maybe out to other doctors, or just their own breast cancer treatment. And so they have a fund that they, you know, take donations for that goes towards the treatment of women in a community that I grew up in. It's in Southwest, but I went to Ballou, like you said, Southeast, Southwest, and they really target Ward 7 and 8 in D.C., and it's something that's near and dear to my heart. So basically, I couldn't resist reaching out to their organization and finding out more about them and how we can help their cause.
So now, what type of designers? So we're going to get to Jacqueline Beal, and if anybody wants to, you know, let your audience or your guests know, people who are listening, we are on Station 1, so just bbsradio.com, Station 1. What are some of the designers going to be, you know, if we can get a sneak peek? What are some of the clothes that we're going to have, that we're going to see on the fashion show? Like, are you doing, like, summer? Are you doing fall? Are you doing every day? Is there a seasonal thing going on, or is it just, like, regular, whatever's happening right now, this is what we're going to present?
So I think it's going to be... you know, it's right smack dab in the middle of summer, really, July. So it's probably going to be more summery types of things. I know my show is actually titled In the Garden. So I have a lot of florals, a lot of bright colors. Some of the other designers, I have two male designers who are part of the show, Mike Taylor and Adon Hall of Halls of London. And they have... you know, different styles. One is everyday menswear. You have anything from T-shirts to tailored shirts to, you know, baseball caps, T-shirts. And he's actually a unisex. That's the Halls of London. He's actually a unisex designer. And then Mike Taylor, he's more of the tailored man and tailored woman type of designer. So he's actually unisex, but he's branching out into the men's only sector. And then we have Teray Ross, another emerging designer. She, like myself, is more women's day wear. She does have some like kind of boho chic types of things going on with her show. And then we have Carla Thompson, who is our curvaceous, curvy designer, and she'll be bringing a very multifunctional, sexy, curvy, plus line collection to the show.
Yes, we like curvy girls. Yes.
And then, last but not least, I also have New Digs Boutique, which is in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. They are a black-owned consignment shop who is bringing, I think, a service to the community where you can, you know, bring in your gently used or new clothing, and they have a consignment service for that. And then they also are bringing, you know, affordable garments and merchandise to women in the Upper Marlboro, Washington, D.C. area.
Wow. And I'm going to bring Jacqueline Beal on in just a second, Jacqueline. Let me ask Rashonda again. When you were going through your treatment process or whatever, did you lose your hair? Did you your skin change? And how did you deal with that?
Well, I actually took a different approach. I had some other doctors, like holistic doctors, who followed me and gave me like a different plan of cleansing. I also had what was called the Greek test. So I had my blood sent over to like Greece, and they sent me back this chart that tested 48 different cultures of how my body would act to natural substance. And so with that, we've created a plan, and that's what I've been using in order to fight cancer, and it's been working. So I'm just really grateful.
Really?
Yeah.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to go through the usual chemo, the radiation, whatever. You went through a holistic way, and it helped you.
Yeah. They wanted to actually. They said that I had triple negative breast cancer, and it's very aggressive. And so that was the advice. But after some pleading of my mom and my father, and doing some research, I just opted to try a different way.
How did you even think about going that avenue? I got to ask that because, you know, we automatically think that the first thing that, you know, when you get that call or that message that you have cancer, that the first thing you do or the first thing they say is chemo, radiation. And we all know the effects of chemo and radiation. So what
right.
made you just to say, you know what, I'm not doing that. I'm not putting my body through that. I'm going through another
right.
way.
So honestly, at first I was not about trying even open to this way. I had a friend whose father was a medical oncologist, and so I made an appointment to go see him. And you know, everybody's like, "You should try this," and I was like, "I don't want to hear it." So it wasn't until we got ready to leave the office and the nurse pulled me to the side and she said to me that you need to make an appointment with a fertility clinic. And I said, a fertility clinic? Why do I need to do that? She said, because chemotherapy and radiation can make you infertile. And I am seeing somebody who doesn't have children, and that's what he wants. And so that right there was an eye-opener and what caused me to start doing research and looking into the origin of chemotherapy, where it came from, and the results, the statistics, and stuff like that. And that's what made me decide to try another way.
And how are you feeling today?
I feel great. I feel fantastic.
I love hearing this, that you're feeling great and you didn't have to. Oh my God, you're going to make me start crying. I think that was another reason I want to go on Facebook Live. I get very curious. The makeup runs and I look crazy. But that is phenomenal. Oh my gosh. I want to hug you right now. I mean, seriously, I need a virtual. That is fantastic that you went the holistic way and it worked.
Yeah. And the biggest part of the whole thing is really your perception, the way that you allow your mind to process things. And for a lot of people, when they find out something that's just like so devastating. That's what the media and our social environments want us to believe. You actually die in the mind. And I know that we all can relate to so many of our relatives and friends just like withering away so fast after they find out because they died in the mind. So that was what was important for me, just to make sure that I kept myself in a positive mindset around positive people and doing positive things.
You're listening to I'm Just Saying 50 with Juanita on BBS Radio. Jacqueline Beal is one of my other guests. She is the outreach coordinator for Hope Connections for Cancer Support, and she is also Maryland State Lead Ambassador for the American Cancer Society. And I do a lot of work with American Cancer Society, Jacqueline. I think we've talked about this, but they're one of my clients, and you know, they every year they have this big event called Lobby Day, and we have different people that come in, cancer survivors. We make them up. They go on. They talk about. They go on Capitol Hill to share their stories with people, how they need to get more research, how to get more funding, whatever. So, welcome, Jacqueline, because you're also one of those people who are lobbying with congressmen and senators on behalf of health care and funding. So welcome to I'm Just Saying 50.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. And, yes, I am one of those people. I'm actually the person from Maryland. So in September, you're going to see a sea of blue on Capitol Hill when we go up there to tell people, okay, this is what we need, and these are the cancer protections we have to have.
That's the event I'm talking about. I do that every year. I see the sea of blue, and then at night you light the bags or the candles around.
We
the
sure do. That's called the Lights of Hope.
Yeah, that's the event I'm talking about. I love doing that every year. I love doing that event. But
you have an interesting story too.
You have a very interesting story, and also your sister is going to be in this event at this event as well.
She is. She's one of the models, and I probably am going to say biasly, but probably one of the baddest ones that are going to be on the runway.
And boom goes the dynamite with me, right?
Yeah, and I actually didn't find that out. I started trying to put, like, all the puzzle pieces together, and it just kind of, you know, fell into place. I was like, oh, okay, that's how they're related.
Yeah.
And, I started seeing all the ticket sales come in, and Kimberly was winning, and so I kind of put all of the pieces together, and thank you, Jacqueline.
Jacqueline, you have an interesting story as well.
Right. I'm a two-time breast cancer survivor. It's been 15 years now, and I'm what you call an open book. So I like to tell my story so that people, when they see me, one, they won't think I've ever had cancer. And once they know that I've had, it gives them, you know, hope. It says, okay, after the diagnosis and the journey, I can still live, love, and laugh. And so I went the first time the traditional method. I've had the lumpectomy, chemotherapy, radiation, and then it came back a year later, and I just said, you know what, I did all the traditional stuff the first time, I'm just going to trust God and have faith, and I just said, okay, give me the mastectomy, but that's it, that's all I'm doing, I'm not doing any more chemo, I'll change my diet, and I became a vegetarian, and I'm all good. 15 years later.
Wow! So changing your diet, total mastectomy, and then you were done.
I had a partial reconstruction, so I have an implant, but I became vegetarian. Well, a pescatarian because I eat fish, and there wasn't concrete evidence that not eating meat would do the trick, but my breast surgeon said, you know, there are suggestions that, you know, animal fat could contribute to it. So I said, not a problem. I won't do meat anymore.
So So now, do you find that most people who have breast cancer or who are breast cancer people, it ran in their family, is hereditary, there's someone in their family that had breast cancer, or is it just, you know, it just sort of happens? Because I know a lot of people say hereditary.
If you read the statistics and you listen to them, they say that, no, it's not hereditary. But I will tell you, what I have observed in my own family, it's the oldest women of every generation. So it was my grandmother, it was my mother, and now me. And it's the oldest sibling of every woman in every generation. So I said, okay, I got to change this, because at the time I had a niece who was very young. And, of course, she's looking at her family tree too, and her grandmother's gone, her great-grandmother's gone, and now her aunt has it. And it was my mission then to say, okay, you know what? It ends with me. This has got to stop with me, and I'm the last one to get it, and I'm going to do everything I can to help other people not have to say those words, I have cancer. So whatever I can do, I'm doing it.
Now, what is the Hope Connection for Cancer Support? What is that exactly? What do you do there, and what can be, you know, found at the Hope Connection?
I like to call it one of our jewels in Maryland, and we're going to eventually expand to the D.C. area. But we've been around 10 years in Montgomery County. We just opened our new facility and established our footprint in Prince George's County. But it's a home-like environment that allows cancer patients, caregivers, and even their loved ones to come and get mind-body relaxation. So, for example, we have yoga classes, we have aerobics, or we have support groups where people just want to come and talk to like people about what's going on with them, or even their loved ones who want to come and talk about it. We have nutritional classes, we have educational classes, and guess what? It's all free. You can come as often as you like, and you can come. Yes, everything is free.
That is, and you said that that's not just for those persons who have or are suffering from cancer, but caregivers or people who are helping
loved ones
the people
as well. So, for example, when I was diagnosed, and I did attend a seminar-like organization at the time, this wasn't in existence, but at the time, had I chosen this one, had it been around, I could attend, my sister could attend, or, you know, other family members and friends. Your support group is welcome.
Yeah, and it's so important that, you know, caregivers are given credit as well, because especially when they're taking care of those persons who are dealing with that. Again, someone very personal to me, and they're going through this themselves. And, you know, I know that that is hard on her as well as the person who is suffering from the disease. So yeah, that right there, you know, just having a place where you can go and just kind of relax and just kind of talk to other people, because I think, and I'm not sure, but you guys can tell me, all of you, if you don't have it or you've never experienced it, you really don't know what that person is experiencing.
I'll say no. For example, my sister, when I was going through it, was my rock. But at the same time, I was very aware that my sister had also been through it again with our mother. So I was conscientious about not imposing too much on her, willfully or unwillfully, because I knew inside her head she had to find a way to cope with it as well. So it's a great place for, again, loved ones and caregivers to come and just talk about what they're going through, because they're so focused on us. And I think, you know, we need to be just as focused and diligent about what they're going through as well.
So are you or Rashonda, are you guys married?
I am not.
I'm not. No.
Okay. And the reason why I asked it, you know, single girls rule. No. The reason why I'm asking was, I was going to ask you, how was your partner reaction? Because I know when we talked to Reggie, and Reggie was saying, you know, you really, you know, need to listen and be there for them. But I was going to ask if your partners or whatever, how supportive they were of you. But it seems like most of us had, like, someone there, which I think is very important, when you're going through this to help us and give us encouragement?
My boyfriend was like so supportive. I had been doing free Zumba classes for the community, and he, my mom, and another lady from the class actually went and got certified so they could teach while I was away. And just like all those things is just reminding me how beautiful I was, no matter what I did, if I decided to do reconstruction or not. He was just like, whatever you decide to do is great. So that was just such a blessing to have somebody who was just so supportive.
Right. Now, when you say reconstruction, I'm not a plastic surgeon, but is it better or is it required? Not required. That's not a word. Is it better to get it done right after you've had your surgery, your mastectomy, to get the reconstruction, or should you just wait, see, you know, how you feel, and then come back? Which would you think is the best way of doing it? Because I know a lot of women were like, you know, it was removed, and in the same instance, it was, you know, reconstructed back, so when I got up, you know, it wasn't as, I guess, devastating.
Right. So for me, actually, before I had reconstruction, I was at A negative. So mine weren't that big anyway. So that was actually something I was kind of excited about. But after doing the research, some people, because of their breast cavity, they can't get it immediately. So they have to get what's called expanders. And so they go every so many weeks, and they keep putting liquid in it until it gets to the size that they want. And then for others, if it's such a bad infection that they get, then they might not even be able to get them at all.
Right. Okay. And who? It's
actually preference. So if you... another blessing about it was actually able to get the nipple sparing. So I still have my nipples, but a lot of women don't get that option of getting to have their nipples. So, yeah.
Well, you know, I did see a program, a very good plastic surgeon, and, you know, the woman, she had a double mastectomy, and that was the one thing that she, you know, missed as far as, you know, feeling like a woman. I mean, and that small thing made her feel less of a woman was the nipple. So this doctor had someone come in and tattoo them, and they looked perfect. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And that one little thing she was so, you know, distraught about was her nipples. And so this doctor had, you know, not only reconstructed her breast, but actually had someone do a tattooing of the nipple. And it just looked perfect. Perfect. And it's amazing how little things like that can affect your ego. I know it would affect mine. or the conscious, you know, or you get somebody who wants to stare, you know, you tell them that you're breast cancer survivor. And the first thing they go right to your breast. It drives me crazy. I see your breath. You're talking to them, they just go right there, and it's like, whoa, I'm still talking. I'm still talking.
Right.
And I know you girls have seen that. I know you have. Don't lie. You have, haven't you?
Yes. Okay. And I'm actually one of the ones, so I had to have the expander method, and then I had the implant in place in it. But I was so tired of just surgery and operations that I just opted. I said, okay, that's it. I don't want to do anymore. And I could have done with Juanita what you said someone did and got the nipple procedure done, but I was just tired of it. So I just have the implant. So. I guess I've been blessed, you know, where I've had partners that it just doesn't matter. And from a man's perspective, to your point, you know, breasts are important to them and they are important to us. But I just said, you know what, God's just going to have to give me someone that just says, you know what, baby, I love you still.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, I want to get back to Reggie real quick. Reggie, you know, the Calvary Women's Shelter, can anyone come? Can, you know, is there a requirement for people to come to the shelter?
Yes, definitely. That's how we got connected with them. And like I said, we started just with food, and we started working with the coordinator at Calvary Women's Shelter, and it expanded to classes, to, you know, holiday events and stuff like that. So anybody can definitely come and volunteer and coordinate with the Calvary Women's Shelter.
So if anyone wants to volunteer, because I just got a question about how they can volunteer for the, she says, how can I be a volunteer at the shelter? So how can she be a volunteer? What can she do to volunteer? What type of things does she volunteer to do?
Well, they have different ways and different times and days and stuff because, for example, we usually schedule ours like a month and a half in advance because there are a lot of organization and people that volunteer. So like they like to have it scheduled and organized. So I don't have the number in front of me, but you, if you Google Calvary Women's Shelter and give them a call and ask them how you can volunteer, they can direct you the right way.
Okay.
While you were talking, Reggie, I think I got the address, 1217 okay. Good Hope Road in Southeast okay. DC, and the phone number is 202-678-2341.
Thank you.
78341.
678-2341.
Okay. That's okay. So you heard that, Maggie? You just asked the question. It's 202-678-2341. That's my old stopping ground. Oh, Big Bad Balloon Girl. That's our old stopping ground. We definitely know where that is. And also, who's this? What's her name? Lori. Lori wants to know, and I'll give you that information. I'll let Rania give you that information about the event. She wanted to find out if it's not too late to get tickets and what type of tickets, like seating. She wants to know about VIP. She wants to know about the event, tickets and all that.
Okay. So we have general admission tickets. The tickets are being sold at www.runwayforcuredctickets.com. We're also on Eventbrite. So if you do a search on Eventbrite, Runway for a Cure DC, you will see several options. We have general admission to the event. We also have VIP seating, which is the first row, and you also get a VIP swag bag full of plenty of goodies.
I love a swag bag.
And then if you'd like to also go to our after party, which is happening right after us, starting at 8 o'clock, our after party with Music Soul Child starts at 8 o'clock. We also have ticket options on the Eventbrite site for that as well.
So will Music Soul Child be a part of the show, or are they just going to be totally for the after party?
Totally for the after party. He will not be appearing at the fashion show, but we do have VIP tickets to that show where they do have a meet and greet. So you can, if you select those seats for the VIP for the after party, you'll be a part of the meet and greet with Music Soul Child.
You know, I am such a snob, but I do enjoy a swag bag. I just enjoy that. I enjoy a good swag bag. I will post a swag bag in a minute. And anything fashion and anything that's for a good cause, you will find me there. Even if I don't show up, I will support it because this right here, people, this right here, you got some girls, some chicas, whatever you want to call it. These girls are doing the damn thing. And if you know somebody, and I know you do, everybody does, that is either going through either some type of cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer, stomach cancer, whatever. I see it all the time being posted. I just had my test, I just survived this or whatever. You need to support this cause. You need to bring your butt to this runway show. Are there tickets still available? Someone just asked me. I think
yes.
So, because you just gave
yes,
us
yes,
the
yes,
info.
And yes. Tickets are still available. You can search for Runway for Cure DC in Eventbrite, and you'll see all the ticket options. We also have some great vendors there as well. So we have Tracy Lynn, we have hair products. We're finalizing some head wrap young ladies coming to share their inventory. And then we also have other sponsors as well. Thank you, Reggie and Envision for sponsoring the event. But we also have Choice Settlement Group, who's a very good partner with Envision, who will be there as well. And I just say, just come on out. Tickets are still available. We have standing room as well. But if you want VIP seating and general admission, those tickets are still available too.
I'm just saying, Ramia, I mean, stand up. Girl, I want to sit down and catch it all. I'm trying to sit down and watch and catch all of it, because I love a good fashion show. I am just trying to catch a good fashion show. And I love the fact that you are using everyday people, because, you know, sometimes we'll go to fashion show and it's like, oh, this girl here, okay, she ain't eating nothing all day. I mean, I love the fact that these kind of everyday people, all the bounces, all the curves, all the confidence, that makes a show to me. When you got a woman up there who ain't the typical that you know, we as society deems as being a perfect model, and she up there, she's showing you how it is. I'm just saying, how you doing, Ramia? I mean, seriously.
I mean, I think statistics say that, what is it, in the U.S., women are like average size 12 to 14. So that just speaks for itself.
We need to embrace that. We need to embrace the size 12, the size 14. I mean, you know, everybody is not a size zero. What is size zero? What is that? Seriously. I mean, I don't think I was ever size zero. I don't think I was born a size zero. I think I was a four when I came out of my mama. and Jacqueline, she has her sister who's modeling, who's one of the models.
Yes, she is. Kimberly Young.
Kimberly Young.
Kimberly Young. Tell us Kimberly Young's story. What's her story? What's she looking like? How's she doing? What's Kimberly looking like?
Well, her sister could probably tell you better than me, but I will say that one of my girlfriends met her like out maybe like a year ago, and she followed me on Facebook and Instagram, and then she signed up for the show, and like the rest is history. But Jacqueline can tell you more about her personally.
Yes, Jacqueline, what about Kimberly? Kim, what's going on with
Kimberly is beautiful. She is about 5'7", a size 10, maybe sometimes 12. She is self-confident, and she is just one of those people that also believes that we need to get rid of this thing called cancer. So hence she's modeling in the fashion show as her way to give back and a sign of solidarity. But she's beautiful. You'll see her, and I'm not sure who's designing for her, but I'm sure they're having a great time doing so.
And someone just chimed in and asked me, will the clothes be available for sale?
Yeah, so most of my clothing is one of a kind. The models may want to purchase what they have, but if they don't, they will be for sale. But after the show, I will be taking appointments for personal custom garments for the participants.
Yeah, that is something, because, you know, you see something and you're like, I want that, and go, oh, it's not available, sorry, one piece. It's like, well, she needs to take it off. I need that right there that she has on. I want it now.
We will have some raffle giveaways as well at the show. One of the giveaways will be a custom dress made by me. So,
wow,
nice.
So before I let you guys go, because I'm running out of time, but before I let you go, so, I mean, what type of clothes do you like? What's your style of clothes? Because I see your picture, girl. You doing the damn thing. But what type of style would you say? Like, are you more traditional? Are you more boho? Are you more,
so
tailored?
I love space is really dresses and jumpsuits. However, I can make anything.
You said jumpsuit. Oh, I love you.
What was that?
You said jumpsuit. I love you. I love jumpsuits.
Yeah, I tend to stick with dresses and jumpsuits. And I would say that my things are really traditional, but with an edge. So you'll see things like peekaboo midriffs or, you know, really plunging necklines, or really short skirts or short dresses, high splits. You'll see like varying things in my designs.
Yeah, I like that. Do you do a lot of different? Do you any particular type of fabrics you like to use? I mean, are you, you know, you like to use this fabric, or do you just kind of just whatever you see and you like?
Just all depends. Since most of my clients are looking for something special, like maybe for birthdays or anniversaries or some kind of big event, they generally come to me with an idea, and depending on what the silhouette is, I will then choose the fabric, have another consultation with them on different types of fabrics, going back to like what they envisioned, you know, their garment to be, and then I kind of just do my thing and then come back to them. Some people know exactly what they want and some people don't, and then sometimes I don't give people a choice and I just do what I want. But generally, you know, we sit down, have a couple of consultations with fabric choice, and I think my favorite would probably be wool. Try to stay away from silk because it's so slippery. But like right. I said, I can pretty much sew anything.
Yeah, I like stretch wool. Is that a thing? Stretch wool?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I love stretch wool. I thought I had something that said stretch wool, and I love that. I can see me in that stretch wool jumpsuit, Ramia. With a cape that's attached. That's me. That's what I'm seeing in my mind. I'm seeing that.
Okay.
I see that in your future. You see that in my future. And it's wide leg. It's like fitted in the hip, but it's a little wide leg at the bottom. You guys have been fantastic for this podcast. You are making me look really good. I am so happy that you were a part of the I Just Sang 50 with Juanita podcast. Get your tickets. It's runwayforcuretickets.com. Did I get that right, Ramia?
Runwayforcuredctickets.com.
Runwayforcuredctickets.com or Eventbrite, which is fabulous because you can get it right then and there.
Yep.
Exactly. My guests, Ramia Henderson, Rashonda Jenkins, Reggie Butler, Jacqueline Beal, thank you so much for sharing your stories. Thank you for your inspiration. Thank you for surviving this, being a part of this. And, you know, God bless you. I'm teary-eyed right now that you don't hear it, but I am so happy and I'm so privileged to have you guys on my show today.
Thank you for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Anyone who wants to listen to the show after this, we are on iTunes. It'll be available later this afternoon or later this evening on iTunes. Just put in I'm Just Saying 50 with Juanita podcast or I'm Just Saying 50 on iTunes, and you can hear this show in its entirety. Or you can go on bbsradio.com, station one, and you'll be able to hear this radio show, this podcast later today when it gets posted by my good friend Doug. Until the next time we talk or chat, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. Yeah, this is live, so I don't care if it's fluffed or whatever. I'm Juanita, and I'm so happy to hear that you are hearing my show, you listen on Facebook, and until the next time we chat, you take care. Bye.